The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. What did you notice about that great multitude that no one could number, described in the first reading from Revelation? What stood out to you about them? Well, first, they were from all tribes and peoples and languages. They were every race, every color of skin imaginable. This was an inclusive assembly that St. John the Divine saw in today's reading from Revelation. And it was inclusive not because of some quota established by a church body or by the government or anything like that. It was inclusive because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Savior of all, that accounts for the inclusivity that we have described by St. John today. Something else, they stand before the throne of God and before the Lamb, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They have access by grace into this peace in the triune God's presence. They are not there because of their personal holiness. They are not there because they lived sinless lives or anything like that. They are there because of Jesus. They are there because the Holy Spirit, through the gospel, granted them faith to trust in Jesus as their Savior, the one who has taken away all of their sins, the one in whom God accounts them to be righteous. So they are clothed in white robes, robes that manifest and symbolize the righteousness of Christ. Robes that shine forth in glory just as Jesus in his human nature shone forth in glory at the transfiguration. This great multitude reflects the glory of God and shines with the righteousness of Christ himself. They have palm branches in their hands. Naturally, we think of Palm Sunday when we read that. Palm branches that they wave in homage to God and to the Lamb, the palm branches of victory, the palm branches with which they honor the triune God. Okay, that's one thing we notice. And then they cry out with a loud voice. They aren't shy. They aren't thinking, well, I really can't sing. I'm shy. This person next to me might hear me singing. No, they cry out with a loud voice. Salvation, rescue, deliverance belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You see, it is God who has accomplished the work of your salvation. It is not you. God has done it. He has done it in his Son, Jesus Christ, who said on the cross, after he had suffered there for the sins of the world, he said, "It is finished. It is accomplished." So this great multitude in heaven merely acknowledges what Jesus has done for them. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You know what we sing on Palm Sunday as we come into the church and in our hymns? Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna means save now, O God. Save me now in my sin. Save and deliver me now in my affliction, in my trouble, in my anxiety, in my sorrow, in my illness. Save me now, O God. And these saints acknowledge that God is the one who saves, just as you do when you sing Hosanna and say those words, not meekly, Hosanna, but Hosanna, loudly, gladly, with robust faith, just as we do in the Sanctus, which we sing before communion. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus, your Savior, comes to you in the name of the Lord to grant you forgiveness of all of your sins. He gives you his body and blood for that very purpose. Because salvation is accomplished by him. Salvation belongs to him, not to you. You haven't done it. You merely open your hands and open your mouth to receive what Jesus gives. And that is the attitude of faith, to receive from the God who graciously gives for the sake of his Son. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest to him who comes to you to give you his body and his blood today. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. Picture an entire creation redeemed and made new by Christ, his sufferings, his death, his resurrection, and everyone joins in the heavenly chorus with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven. This is the fullness of redemption. This is the fullness of the new creation we have described for us here. But you, when you come to the sacrament, when you participate in the liturgy of the sacrament, you're with them. You are joined with them, your loved ones who have died in Christ. They are not separate from you. This is the closest you can get to them here on earth. As you gather around the altar, as you sing praises to the triune God, as you receive the gifts that they received, the saving gifts, during their lives on earth. And all this multitude, all this heavenly army, these heavenly hosts saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to us. Because look what saints we are. Look what good people we are. No. All those things be to our God forever and ever. And they say amen again. And amen, if you know your catechism means yes, yes. This is true. So shall it be. No. During our liturgy, we have all kinds of opportunity to say amen. You say amen at the end of the collect. You say amen after the invocation of the triune name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You can say amen, and I would encourage you to do this. As you hear those words, take, eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Amen means, yes, I believe this. Yes, this is given for me. Take, drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for the remission of your sins. Amen. This is Christ's blood. I believe it. This was shed for me. I am forgiven because of Christ. And amen. Depart in peace. Amen. Say it loudly. Say it boldly. Say it with the saints. Don't hesitate. Don't be shy. Amen means, I believe this. Okay. Then one of the elders, one of the heavenly elders, addresses John and says, Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? John wisely says, Well, sir, you know. You teach me. You tell me. And so faith is always willing to be instructed. Faith always delights in hearing God's holy word. Because by that word, faith is strengthened. By that word, we are enabled to stand firm. Although all kinds of adversity rises against us, all kinds of trouble, all kinds of things come upon us to test us. Faith clings to the word of God and to that word alone. Faith doesn't look to itself. That is no faith at all. Remember how this great multitude was described. They were before the throne of God and before the Lamb. They were focused on Jesus. And that's what faith does. Because remember, salvation is not something we accomplish, although sometimes we think so. Salvation is accomplished by God the Father who sent His Son in the flesh. And by God the Son who willingly went to the cross to suffer horribly there for us, for all of our sins, and then be raised again and ascend to the right hand of God. And God the Holy Spirit who comes to you in word and sacrament to give you faith and to strengthen you in that faith He gives. So the elder said to John, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation." Great time of suffering, the great time of sorrow, the great time of affliction and woe and testing and turmoil. You and I are in that great tribulation now. Forget the Left Behind books and all that garbage. You and I are in this time of testing now. And it is only by the grace of God in Christ Jesus that we will come out of that great tribulation and enter into the presence of the triune God. These clothed in white robes have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Let's say you had a beaker full of blood, and as we were processing out at the end of the service, you dashed that beaker of blood upon me, upon my surplice here, this white surplice. It would be stained with blood. It wouldn't be white. It would be red, a gory, disgusting red. But look at what the holy and precious blood of Jesus Christ does. Look what His innocent suffering and death does. It takes the filthy garments of your sin and my sin, and it washes us, and it makes us new. In Revelation chapter 1, we read that the Son of God loved us and freed us from our sins by His blood, by His suffering, by His death. We hear in 1 John that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We hear that though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow, so Isaiah the prophet says. And we hear in Romans that God put Christ forward as a propitiation by His blood. By all rights, it should have been our blood shed. But our blood would not begin to pay for our sins. Our death would accomplish nothing except sending us out of the presence of God forever. But the blood of Jesus takes away your sin and cleanses you from your sin. And God put Him forward as the atoning sacrifice, so you can be confident that you are a saint of God by God's grace in Christ Jesus. Does that surprise you to think of yourself as a saint of God? Well, if you trust in Jesus with that faith the Holy Spirit has given you, it should not surprise you at all. A saint is a holy one, one of God's holy ones. A saint is someone whom God has called out of the darkness of sin, the darkness of unbelief, the darkness of judgment, and brought into the kingdom of light in his Son, Jesus Christ. A saint is someone whom God declares to be righteous for Jesus' sake. That's right. You are one of God's righteous ones in Christ, trusting in Christ. And your loved ones who have died trusting in Jesus, and all the saints who have gone ahead of us, are in heaven now. John saw them. And since this vision of John is timeless, he saw you there among this great multitude no one could number. He saw you clothed in white robes. He saw you waving the palm branches of victory. And look at this. Therefore, because of the blood of the Lamb, they are before the throne of God. And God doesn't say, "What are you doing here? Get out of my presence." Now God welcomes him. God welcomes you as he welcomed you in your baptism into his family. And these serve God day and night in his temple, in his presence. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. And look, they shall hunger no more. Just as Israel did not hunger in the years of its wilderness pilgrimage, because God provided for them. Just as your loved ones who maybe had a long, wasting illness and it got so they could not eat, they aren't hungering anymore in the presence of God. They are satisfied. They are at the great wedding banquet of the Lamb. Neither shall they thirst anymore. Again, someone takes a long time in dying. They thirst. They can't drink. They can't process water, liquids, hydration. But the saints in God, your loved ones who died trusting in Christ, do not thirst anymore. They don't hunger and thirst for righteousness. They are satisfied with the righteousness of Christ by which they enter into God's presence. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. They are comforted because the Lamb in the midst of the throne is their shepherd, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep and took it up again. And he will guide them to springs of living water, springs of refreshment, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. See, the saints in heaven, your loved ones who are with the triune God, they don't say, "Boy, I wish I was back on earth. Boy, I wish I could see my family. Boy, I wish I hadn't suffered so during my time of dying." No! God has wiped away every tear out of their eyes. They are made new. They are rejoicing in God, singing amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And this is also God's promise for you. Because Jesus is your shepherd now, he who leads you through the valley of the shadow of death and darkness. He guides you to springs of living water that refresh you as he gives you his holy cleansing word, as he keeps you in the grace of your baptism, that's the living water, and as he brings you to partake of his body and his blood. And though you sorrow in this world, though you miss your loved ones, though you face affliction, though you face hardship and inner turmoil, though you question, though you sometimes wonder, "Is God really with me?" You have this promise. God's going to wipe away every tear from your eyes as well. You will not sorrow. You will not mourn. You shall be comforted. You shall be satisfied. for the sake of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away your sin and brings you into God's eternal presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.